Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here Tuesday morning, October 28th, 2025, 12 and a half minutes past the hour. Joining us in studio this morning, Matt Morgan, because it's going to be a big news morning, and we might be joined by some other people as the morning progresses. So I'm going to tell you a fun story for 3 minutes, and then we'll get into what happened last night. And trust me, this is something you're certainly going to want to hear if you are not at Marion City Council tonight. Maybe one of the most substantial things that has ever happened in the city of Marion, and I think everybody would agree with that, who's going to hear it and who's going to talk about it here this morning. Now, Matt, let's talk about Kids Night Out real quick. We talked about it for weeks on this station. It happened last night at Kroger. We ended up broadcasting for an hour from there last night. What did you make of Kids Night Out?
I think kids...
Oh, let me turn your mic on.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. We'll get your mic on first.
I think Kids Night Out went well. I mean, I got to see a couple of my friends that brought their kids, and I got to see a kid I went to high school with who has two kids now who I got to see again for the first time since
so ninth big grade. Fun, yeah. Last night at Kids Night Out.
Yep.
So that's the fluffy news of the morning. And now... a lot of candy was given away, a lot of costumes, a lot of fun. Everybody had a good time. Parents even came dressed up, so it was a good time.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, here's the big story from last night. Marion City Council. Okay, here's the letter that at the end of the meeting last night, Mayor Collins got up and read. Now, this letter is dated October 28th, 2025. Attention, David Thompson, Auditor of State. Dear Mr. Thompson, due to inaccuracies in our current financial system as of September 30th, 2025, the inaccuracies being the result of an ongoing failure to properly complete and the very important process of reconciliation, the true and accurate bank-to-book balances remains uncertain. As a direct result, several funds appear to have deficit balances, which, if accurate, could be determined to be significant. As a result, the City of Marion would like to formally request a fiscal caution analysis and projection. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. Please feel free to contact us if I can be of any further assistance to you in this matter. Sincerely, welcome, Bill Collins, Mayor of the City of Marion. Now, the result of this could be the City of Marion being put on fiscal caution, fiscal watch, or fiscal emergency. And this has been the talk for a long time with what's been going on in the city. Do they have the money to pay for positions? Do they know what money they have? This has been going on for almost 2 years. Those questions, as new positions and money has been spent for parties in the park, expansion of the transit system, new positions created in government, and the question always has been, if you've listened to this program and listened to other council people, where's the money coming from? Well, last night that may have all finally come to a head with that note, which was read at the end of the council meeting. Joining us this morning, 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber, somebody who has said, and boy, get close to the mic, Jason. I don't want people telling me tomorrow that they can't hear you this morning because they'll want to hear this. But when the mayor got up and read this, what'd you think?
I had a lot of thoughts. It probably wasn't what the mayor envisioned himself doing as the mayor 2 years into his term, midway through his term, is asking the state to come in and sort our financial affairs out. Because the mayor came in with a head of steam, a very ambitious agenda. Now, we can argue if it was rolled out appropriately or not. That's here nor there, but it's a big deal.
So what does all this mean? For the taxpayer out there listening to this program, and there are a lot of them, what does this mean when you boil it down?
So what it means is we don't have financial control of our finances within the city. So I personally think that the state approached us, the city, and said, you either get ahead of this yourselves, take ownership of this problem, invite us in, otherwise there's enough triggers here that we can come in and do it ourselves.
Now, here has been the question for the last 2 years, and not that this problem was not going on prior to the last 2 years. Nobody is saying that. But when the budget director was created, when talk of an economic development director, which was talked about last night, was being created, when $10,000 was given for a party in the park, when the expansion of the transit system was being implemented, the Night Moves bus, when all of this was being done, a question was, do we have the money to do it? And in those times, in the last 2 years, the reason was yes, or the answer was yes. And it's probably the biggest expansion to local government in a long time, wouldn't you say? You've been there a while.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that all happens in the last 2 years. Now, based upon that, when you read this letter from Mayor Collins himself, he says he's uncertain of the true and accurate bank-to-book balances. He doesn't know what they are. And so how could you continue to...
I'm glad that he came to this realization, because clear back in 2021, after Mr. Landon did his time, we realized that reconciliations hasn't happened at all. And that's what... That is the root cause, and I've been saying that we have not addressed the root cause for the last 5 years. And just to be the trigger for fiscal caution is or the threshold is very low, and that's just 3 months of unreconciled books to trigger fiscal caution.
So we're there.
We're beyond there. We haven't done it in 5 years. So the problem's always been there, and I've seen some people kind of like bragging about that we're finally doing this. This is not something to brag about. This is bad.
Okay, fiscal watch. So if we meet the threshold for fiscal caution, do you think we meet the threshold for fiscal watch without going down all of these?
Yes. So I believe that's where we are at, because fiscal watch will take on it's deficits, because in the mayor's letter he mentions deficits that could be significant. If that deficit is 1/12 of the general fund balance, then that's the threshold or the trigger to be in fiscal watch.
So you think where we are is fiscal watch, not fiscal emergency?
No. So that part I don't know, because what is significant? And for fiscal emergency, you have to be delinquent in bills, not meeting contract obligations, not meeting payroll, things like that.
So we don't think that has happened.
I don't think so, but we've mistakenly paid things late. We have in the past received shutoff notices for the lights at the wastewater treatment plant several times. So I don't know if those are more management or procedural type oopsies than it is not having the money to pay it.
So under fiscal watch, if the paperwork comes back after the auditor of the state looks at everything, what happens under fiscal watch?
So if we are under fiscal watch, and this is my understanding, because when I looked at it years ago, the city will have, I believe it's 90 days, it's either 60 or 90, but I believe for fiscal watch, if they determine we're under fiscal watch, we have 90 days to come up with a financial action plan, for lack of, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. And then we have 90 days to submit that. I believe it has to be council approved. It's a very strict timeline for what this plan lays out, that we have to meet these goals of fixing whatever the state identifies as our weakness.
Now, a lot of people listening right now are going to say that this has been going on for at least 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So how in the world would you know how to fix it?
Well, see, that's the thing, too. So if some people are thinking, well, finally, we've got the state coming in. They're going to tell us how to do it. We're going to get rid of the auditor. We're going to get rid of the treasurer. That's not the case. This, people still stay in office. They're the ones that have to come up with this financial plan. So, like I said last night, be careful what you wish for.
So, under fiscal watch, can the city still spend money? Can they continue on?
Under fiscal caution, that's just caution. The city will continue on as normal, but once you get to the level of fiscal watch, then things are scrutinized, and any spending has to meet that financial recovery plan.
Which is put forth by...
And if it doesn't fit in that financial recovery plan, you can't do it.
So what things could not be done that are being done now?
Maybe if... this economic developer position, I don't know for sure. This is just my thoughts because you asked me the question. Maybe if we are under fiscal watch and that economic development director isn't in the recovery plan, then it can't happen.
So I guess I go back to the recovery plan here. The recovery plan is being written and put together by the same people,
yes,
who have not been able to get it under control,
yes,
for 2 to 3 years.
Correct, yes.
Okay. So yeah. How does that happen?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's the same players, and again, it under fiscal watch, there's a stricter timeline and more supervision from the state.
And if that is not met...
Then you escalate...
To emergency. That's where the state takes over.
That's where the state drafts a financial, I believe it's called a financial planning supervisor commission. And if I remember right, man, this has been years since I even looked at this. It's made up of two or three appointees from the auditor of state. I believe the mayor. For some reason, I cannot remember if council has a seat on that or not. They may or may not. And the state auditor of state kind of has final say on all spending at that point.
So this has been done, not very often in Ohio, but it has happened to cities around Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what they refer to as the state coming in and taking over, is it not?
That's the fiscal emergency.
That's the fiscal emergency.
Yes.
So, based on what you know, let's say right now we only qualify for a fiscal watch.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way on God's green earth that the people there now who would be drafting this plan under fiscal watch could put together a plan that would satisfy the state that would not send us into fiscal emergency?
I don't have that confidence.
So you think we're headed toward fiscal emergency?
We very well could be. And again, I'll restate what I said. Careful what you wish for.
Okay, I want to go back to the original question because I think it was important to go through all of that. In the mayor's own hand, in his own letter, he says that the true and accurate bank-to-book balances remain uncertain. Now, if that's what he says, how has he proposed and done all the things he's done in the last 2 years?
I can't answer that because we learned last night that any information that I request has to be sent to the law director and filtered before it even gets to me. So I know absolutely nothing.
Well, we learned that last night. What did you make of that? This came from Mrs. Troiano, the new budget director, and she in the open meeting said that, yes, she did receive your emails. But you had emailed 5 people about the financial situation in Aaron.
Yes.
You also sent it to the media.
Yes.
We got it.
You have
it. I have it.
And I am just beside myself because I cannot figure out why. I have to explain as a council person why I sent an email asking for information. I mean, Lois Fisher stood up. She had to sit down because she was so upset with me. She didn't want to say something inappropriate.
She did.
Why? Why do I have to defend myself seeking information as a council person? That's my duty.
Well, and I've never heard this before, but why does the budget director have to send responsive emails through the law director, and then I guess still not send them to you, even if the answer is I can't answer it?
Right, and so that's why I had the mayor on there, because the current budget director is not the same individual that filled the position of budget director when this issue of the ECID payment happened. So the mayor is their direct supervisor. He should be able to explain to anyone that asks, no matter who the heck you are, what their role, his budget director's role is in this ECID payment. So if they had nothing to do with it, what is the point of a budget director?
So this came up last night. What was the mayor's answer, and was that satisfactory for you?
I think he said that the budget director has nothing to do with it. It's not a satisfactory answer.
Did he explain to you fully for your needs and wants as to why he didn't respond to your email? He said he got it.
No, and it always falls back to December 9th when he was directing Twyla Lang to directing Twyla Lang and other council members to hold me accountable, exclude me from meetings and executive sessions, and just basically keep information away from me. All of them have been good soldiers up until this point.
So I'm going to ask here, if this is the case, where we are on October 28th, 2025, where do we go from here? I mean,
where do I go? I have four more meetings.
You have four more meetings, but where does the city go?
The voters have decided that they want to go a different route with different leadership, and that's where they're going. Elections has consequences.
Okay, let's go back to where this all started, and without going through every point, because there's a lot of theories, and there's a lot of guesses, and there's a lot of accusations as to when this problem started, when Marion, Ohio got off the tracks that brings us to this fork in the road today, and the fork being a three-pronged fork. We don't know which road we're going down here. You've been here through the whole thing. When did the problems financially start? Who brought that on? Where did it begin?
I believe in the Mayor Collins' letter, he says when it started, when the books have not been reconciled to the bank.
Okay, now this apparently
when
is a point.
When did that happen? So in 2019, that was the last year of the previous Carr's administration as
Kelly Carr.
Kelly Carr's as the auditor. That audit was a clean audit to zero.
Now,
so we're at zero in 2019. Election has consequences, right? We established that.
Right.
We get Robert Landon.
Right.
Robert Landon is a wonderful person. Terrible auditor. In fact, he was so terrible, he left before his term was up. What are we talking about now that's not happening that will put us in either fiscal caution watch or emergency? Reconciliation. So that right there tells me that in 2020, since we did not reconcile and we still have it reconciled, that's when it started. Now, we can go down these little rabbit holes and conspiracies that switches in the system were switched, and we got people's secret access and all this stuff. That's just noise to distract that the facts are 2019, clean audit. 2020, the state auditors did not recognize the process that Robert Landon used to reconcile. And then the Republicans gave us Miranda McGinnis. She's not reconciling, nor is the treasurer. Now, we got to bring the treasurer in this too. And the Republicans gave us Tommy Reese. So reconciliation has always and will continue to be the root cause of the problem until someone takes a hard stand and fixes it.
I want to give Robert Landon all the benefit of the doubt here in the world. Is there any chance this did not begin with him?
I don't know. I don't know how I can answer that, because 2019 clean audit. Kelly Carr and her staff could demonstrate how they reconciled to the bank.
Well, I'm just asking this because
Robert Landon could not. Now, if you even want to, maybe we shouldn't pick on Robert Landon. Did you get a nasty email telling you to be good?
No, no.
Okay,
no.
I just want to know where we're going with this.
Yeah, but there could be fallout from this, so just, you know, you never know.
I don't really care if I have fallout.
Well, fallout's okay, but
this is the truth. These are facts. The state auditor, when we finally got 2020 audited, told us you have not reconciled for the entire year. Robert Landon said, well, yes, I did. I just did it a different way that the state doesn't acknowledge. He said that on your show.
He did.
So so you're that smart that you know a better way than the state auditors, but yet the state is writing up a management letter or a finding because they don't recognize the way you do it.
I guess
doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I'm trying to be a non-biased journalist here and say that there have been other reasons given by, I guess, social media and people in this community that this is not his fault. And this is the Democrats' fault, and this has gone back, as you said, rabbit holes prior to 2020.
Okay, so again, blaming secret access, changing buttons on some system, not even having the system implemented correctly in 2008. I to me, that's noise. Because that's noise to distract from the fact that the state told us you have not reconciled. It's in Bill Collins' letter right there.
So
not reconciled.
So the fair statement would be this problem that we're talking about 5 years later began with Robert Landon and has been continued by Miranda McGinnis.
And Tommy Reese.
Okay. Now, and I've asked you this twice, but just to delve deeper on the statement, because this is a big thing. A lot of money has been spent in the Collins administration, and I'm not picking on the Collins administration. It's just the Schertzer administration, is it fair to say, did not spend a lot of money outside of normal budgetary things?
Correct. And like I said at the very beginning of your show, is Collins came in with an ambitious agenda.
And that nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. And I said, we could argue how it was rolled out.
Right. But I guess my question is, by the time Collins came in 24, mm-hmm. everybody knew that the city was having financial problems. There had already been an auditor resign. There had been a no confidence vote. The city, I believe, had already lost its bond rating at that point. I believe that did happen prior to Collins coming in. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everybody is certainly aware there are financial issues. When Bill Collins tried to get the auditor to go to the transit department so he could bring in somebody else, he knew clearly that there were troubles in the financial department of this city. So why would you spend $10,000 on a party? Why would you expand the transit service during that time? Why would you create a budget director? Why would you create a grant writer? Why would you try to introduce an economic development director? All money that the city has not spent prior to Bill Collins, if that's the case, if you know this is a problem.
That's a huge question for Bill Collins. And I'm more than happy to exit this interview if he wants to call in.
Well, the phones are open, 740-383-9944. I don't think it will happen, but he's always welcome. I'm serious because, you know,
welcome is welcome.
Welcome is welcome. And I think that people are getting angry to the point they want to hear from him. And not in a quote in the Marion Star. And nothing wrong with the Marion Star. She was there last night, and there's going to be a story on this. I have no doubt about it, so good for her. But we need more than quotes at this point. We need explanations on how this could happen.
Yeah, well, I would hope that we don't get any more quotes that the mayor of our city literally has zero communications with our auditor and has another quote is he's all but given up on the auditor's office.
We're going to take a call here. And also,
Is it Collins?
It's not Collins. We had hoped. Oh. But you might want to put a headset on here that this one, I think, works. I think we got that one unplugged. But that's the longer one? Yeah, we'll go with the longer one. Hold, caller, stay right with me here. Right. Okay, let's go to the caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Your city.
All right.
I've been avoiding Terry Klein's phone call for at least 4 months.
Well, now he got through. He got through. Hey, Terry, go quick because there might be some other people who want to get in this morning. What's the question?
Well, you got another hour after this one.
Well, that's true. But
I will do this. I will buy the world's largest magnifying glass so the mayor can find some money for the economic development director job.
There you go.
I think this is outrageous, everything that's going on, and everything appears to point to Robert Landon, and he has the unmitigated gall to run for the Charter Commission. Trust me, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, baloney, you know? I would like to hear him stand up and defend himself without throwing God in front of the bus and his children in front of the bus. That's why I have changed my mind about the Charter Commission. We need a proper field of candidates to pull this off, not the ones that we have. So, to a better tomorrow.
Thank you, Terry. Okay, any comment on that statement, Jason?
I appreciate the offer to buy us a magnifying glass.
That's nice. Can you accept gifts?
I
the city right now.
No.
No.
I can't.
Okay, now also somebody out there listening this morning, to be clear, what party is Schaber? That's from Phil listening out there this morning.
What party?
Yes, political party,
I'm
guessing.
I'm almost 50. I don't party anymore.
Well, but you're a political party.
So my political principles align with the Republican Party.
Okay. Bill Collins is a Republican. The majority of council, all except one, are Republican.
Uh-huh. And men can identify as women, too.
This is true. So is that... By the way, and you can't lay this all on Bill Collins because council has approved all of these things for the most part.
And before Collins even got here, at the tail end of 24, I slow rolled every appropriation that went through finance because I always said we're writing checks that we don't know if they will ever clear.
So, and I want to get, because Matt's here, and I want to get him to let him get a question in before the first hour is up. But the point is, I wanted to get this all on the table, then we can talk about it in a broader sense. But council, okay, I can't say they approved everything. But they did approve the party money. They didn't approve the bus money or the expansion of the transit service. They did approve the positions.
They didn't want anything to do with the transit.
They didn't want to talk
situation.
About it.
Yeah,
correct. Didn't want to talk about
yeah.
it. Okay, so council for the last 2 years, how culpable are they in approving these financial expansions that Collins put before them, not knowing what the books are?
Just the same amount of culpability as the previous councils, because, like I said, I was slow rolling as many appropriations as I could, and in fact, that put negative thoughts in the minds of this current council coming in against me, and that's why I'm not on any committees.
Okay, so all of that being said, Matt, do you have a question?
I mean, I don't think it's one that he can answer. I mean, because the mayor said that people were going to ask and that they didn't know. But I mean, do you have an estimate on how long like this would take?
So if we're declared in one of the three phases of fiscal something, how long that would take? So there's the only time frame that's stated is if it's fiscal caution, you have 30 days for your corrective action to return that to the state. Excuse me. And if it's fiscal watch, I believe it's 90 days. Let me back up. I think fiscal caution is 60 days. Fiscal watch is 90 days to get this report back to the state. And I believe fiscal watch needs to be approved by council. And any failures along that escalates it to the next step for the state to come in. Now, implementing these plans, that's over time. And in fiscal caution, there's not as much supervision from the state auditor, fiscal watch. There's more supervision and strict adherence to the laid out timeline in the corrective action plan. Fiscal emergency legislation still holds, or the legislative body still holds its autonomy, but financial decisions in that is handed over to the state through this financial planning supervisory commission.
What I wanted to bring up here, Twyla Lang, 4th Ward city council person, this morning, of course this story's picking up steam, we posted it last night, and to a response, this is a response that Twyla had to somebody posting on the thread of this story that we're talking about this morning in regard to, Mayor Collins is getting beat up pretty good this morning in that thread about it's time for him to go and maybe he doesn't know what he's doing and so on and so forth. Twyla Lang, 4th Ward City Council person, also chair of the Finance Committee, her response was, "You realize you are talking about the administration that preceded us. Mayor Collins and this current council inherited this mess. We are trying to fix it." That's the finance chair, current finance chair, Twyla Lang, city council person. You say to that comment.
She's right. This council did inherit a mess. So didn't council before them and the council before them over a span of 5 years.
So no culpability for the current council or the current mayor.
Well, yeah, back to your point of continuing the spending without knowing if these checks are going to clear the bank.
I don't think that's what that statement's about.
I don't really understand that statement other than it's posturing to make this administration and this council and maybe even that individual look like they're handling a situation that hasn't been handled for years.
Well, she is the chair of the Finance Committee.
Yes, and that does not make her any more powerful or more special than any other of the 9 council members.
No, but it has been said many times, I think, by her and other people on council that she's putting a lot of time and effort into this position. She goes and she tries to get information and requests emails and calls the auditor up during the finance meetings on committee night. And was she aware that this money did not exist?
I don't know. I have no idea. She can call in, too. I'm happy to sit back and be quiet.
But is it fair to say that this is all past administration's problem, this was all created by them, and this administration is the one that's going to fix it?
So if that's her angle, and that's what she's saying in that statement, when I was asking for the city to be placed in fiscal caution, this was early on. This is when the mayor was running as a candidate for mayor. He stood up in finance committee meetings and said, "Oh no, let's not go that route," because he understood the problems or the issues we would face, because that would limit spending and then really restrict spendings depending on what phase of fiscal issues you had or distress you had. And he advocated against it. So something's changed, and this is my perspective about now how we're coming out with this letter and asking the state to come in. And I don't know this to be fact. This is just how I think things played out. The state, through our lack of audits over many years, and finally, our 2021 audit is finally going to come out after the election. I believe that the state saw the big picture that the city's facing financially and said, either you own this and you get out in front of this and you invite us in, or we're coming in anyways.
So why not do that in the last 2 years? I mean, this is not a new council. We're about at the end of this current council.
Right.
At the end of the year. Why in the 1 year and nearly 11 months that they have been in office have they approved all this spending? Why have they not offered to do this, which apparently is now what they're saying is the fix to the problem? Why did it take 1 year and 11 months to do that?
And what I just said, I believe it was approached. And again, these are just my thoughts based on my experience and what little bit of knowledge I have around the city's financial situation. I believe that the city was approached with either you get out in front of it and you own it and make it look like you're asking us to come in, because otherwise we're coming in.
Did this council or this mayor ever do anything to try to stop this from happening?
I trying to point to an example, no, other than meetings of berating certain individuals. I don't know what they did.
Well, this is a question I've asked on this show many times. I mean, you can get up and ask the auditor questions. You can get up and make statements, and maybe she's not the greatest at her job. You're allowed to do it. I don't know if it's the greatest look, but you're allowed to do it. But the point is, if you don't know, if you think she's not doing her job, which apparently, clearly, nobody does, then why would you continue to spend money if you don't believe that those balances are accurate? This council made it very clear from day one that they did not trust this auditor and that they did not believe in what she was doing, yet they believed in her numbers enough to continue to spend money that other administrations had not spent for 2 years. Right up to this point, we had the second rating for economic development director last night.
Uh-huh.
But I
don't know how to answer that. Because,
but what's the reasoning?
I'm not involved in those committees that has those discussions, and it's very clear that when I try to ask any questions, it's got to be filtered through a law director. If you go back to the Night Moves bus, what a disaster that was, just trying to get any information about that. I don't know. I have no answers.
And the budget director, current budget director, came from the auditor's office.
Right.
Right.
So I don't know. It's really strange to me.
No,
that,
I should.
That people want to complain, berate, defame an individual and offer no solutions. And then when it really is pressed on them for a solution, they say, well, it's the previous administration's fault. We've been dealing with this. I don't know. It's strange.
Well, I do want to make something clear last night, and if I'm wrong about any of this, let me know. But the economic development position, which is a pretty substantial position, I believe, right, will cost the city about $80,000 if it happens.
I'm not really buying. So, yes, that's the idea, $80,000. Yeah. But this is a city position. We have no buy-in from the county other than Bill Collins' word.
Well, do you believe his word?
Like Teresa Lupke said, I prefer it to be on paper.
Well, the tenor of this whole conversation changed last night. It had been, yes, 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 we need this, we need this, we need this. Good job, good job, good job. And the last time the mayor was asked by Twyla Lang, give her credit for that, she said, where's the money going to come from? He said, I don't know yet, but I'm going to find it. Now, get with the budget director and we'll find it. Last night, the tenor of that changed quite a bit. It changed to, we don't know, we're looking. This was the mayor's attitude toward this last night. Still haven't found it, where we're going to get this money. Okay, if... Again, you believe everything that was written in Bill Collins' letter on October the 28th, that he doesn't know what the balances are, the bank-to-book balances. If you believe that through the second reading, he still has not found the money for this position, why did the conversation ever happen with the county to pay for half of this? Why did the idea to get rid of the less expensive can-do position ever come up? And why is this already at a second reading, if you never knew where the money was coming from?
Things that make you wonder, huh? So you make a very valid point that everyone is skating over. Can-do is cheaper by half.
By half.
And potentially even by three or four times, because this position that they are creating is a city position. There's nothing holding. There is this contract out there that may or may not be signed by the county commissioners, but there's nothing holding the county to pay half of this city position job, or even recognize that a city employee will do their economic development.
Well, okay. So now, I guess one of the points here is that what does the budget director do?
I don't know. I asked last night what is the point of the budget director if they have no responsibility in anything?
Because we've had two now. For nearly 2 years.
We've had two. And my opinion of the budget director is some of these decisions, especially the ECID stuff, came through the budget director's office. And I have had a conversation with a council person, and this council person told me that, well, Tacey just really didn't know at that time. Ignorance is not an excuse. I mean, that's your job, is to know.
But last night when that was brought up, they certainly jumped to attention to say that that's not the case. The budget director, I believe the comment was from the mayor, the budget director has nothing to do with this.
So then again, if there is something in the budget, no matter what it is, an ECID payment, salaries, supplies, professional services, whatever it is, what does that budget director do other than look at a spreadsheet up that's called the budget and watch numbers go down or go up, and we pay them $80,000 for that?
It's important to know where this started, and I think Phil out there listening this morning, this is a question. Uh-oh. I believe it's to you.
Okay.
I'm told Carr was issued a finding for recovery in 2019, clean audit question mark.
In 2019, after the IRS oopsie with Robert Landon, the blame game really started. Well, the previous auditor did this and whatnot, and they did find an IRS finding for recovery, and I believe it was 2019 or maybe 2018, for $22,000. That since has been abated, and we went after Kelly's bond, and we did the same exact thing we did to Robert Landon.
So it was abated.
Yes, and it was, and that was the 2019 audit was a clean audit. That mistake, because that's what it was, that's what Robert's was a mistake. They found it in, I believe, 2020, after they got to look at it with in Robert's stuff.
So they did find it.
Yeah, they did find it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now, Kelly Carr was not the greatest auditor. I mean, when she first came into office. So what we witnessed with Ayers and Miranda and Robert, well, I say Ayers and Robert when he became the auditor, is the exact same, if not worse, I would say worse, reaction that Ayers had with Kelly. And Kelly is his same party. They're both Democrats. And for her first 4 years, her first term, every meeting, there was an issue that Ayers had to bark about, saying, I believe there's payroll issues and several different things. Every meeting was treating Kelly Carr the same way he treated Robert Landon and now Miranda.
So what is the difference between Kelly Carr not being the greatest auditor in the world and getting questioned during council meetings, and, as you say, Robert Landon not being the greatest auditor in the world and being questioned during meetings? How did one, as you say, cause start the financial situation we're in now in Marion, and one did not?
So, Kelly... Sorry. Kelly came in, was it 2008? And her first term was rough. And if you look back through all the years, it's always rough. Our auditors have not been stellar. But with Kelly, she had good staff, long-term staff. She didn't come in and she did fire some people, but she didn't totally clean house. And if she did clean house, eventually they improved. They didn't get worse. That's where we're at now. Robert if Robert would have just owned a mistake and not gone down these conspiracies of sabotage and hidden cameras and secret access, just admitted to the mistake, owned the mistake, moved on, didn't resign. So he resigned before he could improve. Robert could have eventually became a good auditor. I don't know. He doesn't know because he left. And with Miranda, she was thrown into a storm that she should have never been put into. And she came in very ambitious, wanting to do the work. I saw early on that I didn't think that she would be able to handle it, and she has not improved in her time. She's actually, I believe that, and I don't think it's necessarily all her that hasn't improved. It's the people she surrounds herself with, because the only way to improve and be successful as the auditor is to surround yourself with good people. And she, I personally don't think that she has a good staff.
Okay, so just to be clear here, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good an auditor was Kelly Carr?
On the way out, when she lost her election,
yeah,
she was a competent auditor.
And during Robert Landon's time, he was a what?
He was in his learning phase, and unfortunately he made a really big mistake, and he left. I don't even know if you can grade Robert, because he really never got anywhere. He didn't get to fix his mistakes. So
why didn't he get to fix his mistakes?
Because he left.
Right, but I mean, people were calling on him to resign. I remember these days.
Yeah, and I believe I can't remember if Ayers actually called for Kelly to resign, but they were pretty nasty.
I know comments. Mayor Schertzer called for him to resign finally, right, because we went through this about every time he called in.
Right, right.
So do you believe Mayor Schertzer was right in asking him to resign?
Hindsight, yes. But in that moment, I tried to support Robert to get him to own the mistake, fix the mistake, and move on, but we just never could get that bridge crossed.
And this will end the first hour, but we got a whole nother hour. Why do you think that was? Why do you think, as you say, Robert could have become a good auditor, you believe?
He could have. If he would have, but I probably should, that's a little bit of a nuanced comment now that I think about it, because unfortunately, Robert's staff that he surrounded himself with, minus a few, there's one staff that's still a common denominator that's plaguing the Miranda administration.
Deputy auditor?
That needs to be removed and dealt with. But I fear, this is my fear, and I don't know if we're up against your hard break.
That's okay. We're good.
I fear that if Miranda is removed or she decides to leave, I fear and hope that individual does not become the interim auditor or the city auditor.
So as we quickly, in 10 seconds, this problem started with fill in the blank.
Reconciliation.
Caused by?
Not doing it.
And the person's name who started that problem was?
Well, that's the problem. They never started.
And who are they?
They started in 2020, Robert Landon.
Okay. Clear that all up, and we'll come back and talk about other things on the other side. Stay tuned.
It was successful, but it was successful.
You're the only Marla I've ever known, and thank goodness.